Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Eliza Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Well, hello, hello, hello. This is Mary Brotherton, your host. I'm here with Jean Albertson.
Howdy.
I've never forgotten your name before.
Okay.
And we're also here with Marcy Davis Linton. Marcy calls herself her neighborhood's crazy dog mom. I can't wait to hear about that. But first, yeah. I want to tell you a little bit about Marcy. She comes from a long line of strong women, and she seems to always align herself with inspirational women. And maybe this is why Marcy and I get along so well. Her grandmother called her an old soul. That seems to be the kind of people I like. She writes for Be Unique magazine. She has been a Girl Scout. She wanted to be an astronaut when she was younger, especially after she met Robert Gibson, who is also known as Hoot. Can't wait to talk about that. That's going to be fun. Welcome to the show, Marcy.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We're so happy to have you here.
Yeah. Yes. Crazy Dog Mom was a fun one.
So tell us how that started.
Please, yes.
Well, if you can hear, I actually had to step outside my house because while being in quarantine, my three fur babies think it's vacation time, so they tend to join in and talk, especially Fisher. I have three dogs, and they're very different breeds. I have Sadie that is a bulldog. She's actually been in our local parades because our football team is the Bulldogs.
She's like an English bulldog.
She's an American bulldog.
Okay.
She's an American, and then I've got Fisher I've had Fisher since he'll turn three, but he's the one we nicknamed our vet Bill.
Marcy, can you talk a little more directly into your phone? Marcy?
Oh, I think it might be the signal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was 3 weeks old.
Mm-hmm. Marcy, we keep losing you. You're going to have to be like a statue. And you're too young to know what it was like to hold the antennas covered in aluminum foil with your arm reaching out toward the window.
Gritting your teeth, that's right.
Okay, what about now?
Yeah.
That sounds better.
Okay. Fisher's my rat terrier, and he actually has cerebellar disease. Which
cerebellar
is like
disease? Oh, really?
Yes. It's not really a known breed disease. It's fairly new. In fact, he had to learn how to treat him as he was treating him for it.
Hmm.
Well, then you should get a discount for teaching your vet.
Yeah.
Marcy, we've lost you again.
I didn't know this time.
Well, while Marcy's finding her signal, Jean, when I lived with my mom, there were two places that we could use the phone on a 1-acre lot. One was at the very front, and one was at the very back. None of it was inside the house.
Wow.
So can we hear you now, Marcy? We've lost her again.
Oh.
Marcy? Well, I don't know if you can hear us, Marcy, but if you can't, just jump into the conversation whenever you feel like it. Jean, why don't you tell our audience about Bob?
Well, sure. He's my first dog. I had one when I was a little kid for a short time. I don't remember well, but Bob just came into our life accidentally, kind of suddenly, as a puppy. Last thing I ever imagined. Had no idea what I was doing. Still, I'm just learning, but a friend of mine said, don't worry about it. Listen to the dog. They will teach you the way of dog. And it was most profound advice I had, and that's all I've done, is just kind of let the dog teach me, as me opposed to me training the dog. Pretty much it's training me. So, but we're getting along pretty well.
I can relate to that. Right now, I don't have any dogs. I just have a cat, and we call him His Majesty because he thinks he's royalty, definitely. And my husband says that he has me very well trained. I can pretty much tell you what his meows mean. And I mean, we've had him off and on for 15 years, but for the last 5 years, he's lived with my son. And then I got him back. And so we've had a couple of months of learning together, each other. And all I can say is that cat is very lucky that I work from home. And he wouldn't have survived, I don't think, as well had I had a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
I'm hoping that Marcy will try to call in from her computer maybe, but she hasn't tried to call in since her call dropped the last time. So it might just be you and me tonight, Jean.
Well, it might, but I'll tell you, I think she was talking about having to deal with a pet that had a condition that the vet even had to study to learn about. That's pretty amazing. A lot to deal with there. But, you know, I mean, my next question was going to be whether it was something that could be fixed, or just, you know, could it be lived with, or what was the condition on it, you know?
I think that's the one she said they nicknamed Vet Bill.
Yeah, exactly. Vet Bill.
I'm going to give our phone number out. If anybody else wants to call in, they're more than welcome to. The number is 516-418-5651. And hopefully Marcy can call us. If not, we'll try this again another time with Marcy. Right now, we are we're actually booked, except for a few random reschedules that have happened, but we're booked through the middle of February now. And the last time I checked, we were being heard in 21 countries, I think we're up to now. Yep, 21 countries.
Sorry.
Well, somebody's calling in from an odd number. Let's find out who this is. And it's not coming through. There we are. Let's see who's on the line. Hello, who's there?
This is Marcy. I'm on another line.
Well, yeah, it's a very odd number, but it worked. It came through anyway. Glad to have you back.
It's my Skype number.
That makes perfect sense. Sometimes you have to beat technology at its own game.
Yeah.
Well, we had some powerful storms the past couple days, so mm-hmm. our signals have been really odd. I mean, as if being in quarantine wasn't hard enough, without having communication, it makes it rougher.
Well, you know, I had a friend talk to me, or she was emailing me today, and she said, well, I can understand, you know, people get upset when things don't go right, because we were talking about how some people are really worried because they can't go to their church, and how
yes.
there are alternative ways other than going to the building. And she said, well, I know your husband would be lost if he didn't have his cars. My husband would be lost if he couldn't go piddle on his fishing boat. She said, but I don't know anything that you couldn't live without. And I said, well, probably there's not very many things. I said, I would be unhappy if my house burned down and I lost everything, but I'd still find a way to entertain myself. I've never been bored. I think that's because I come from a family of 8 children, and that was almost like a curse word to my mother. If we ever said we were bored, we knew immediately we'd be washing windows or scrubbing walls. Things that didn't need to be done, in our opinion.
Sure.
So I wouldn't like it if I lost the internet.
I mean, well, I don't know. I haven't really been online all that much. I mean, because I find when I go on Facebook, it's just a lot of bad news, and I just, you know, I don't want to hear it.
I won't hear it.
Yeah, that's me. I don't want to hear it. You know, I don't want to hear about, you know, who's dying and all the, you know, I don't want, you know. And I started, you know, I was doing on my Facebook page laughing around because so many people were asking me, you know, I'm a preschool teacher, and I kept getting, you know, how do I keep my kid entertained? And I'm like, anything in your house can keep your child entertained.
Yes.
I mean, I think the one thing that amazes me as a preschool teacher that I think is really kind of sad is the loss of imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to say I read something about that recently. It's like we've lost our imagination because we've allowed technology to take over. I think.
Well, I
are
know,
you still
I,
there, Marcia?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, good.
I think where I work at, we get evaluated and everything, and part of our curriculum, they have to spend so much time on a computer, and I limit it. Really, I'm one of the very few teachers that I give them maybe 10 minutes and that's it. Because they could jump off of anything and go into YouTube, and I just don't want to deal with it. But
right.
I introduced my kids, my class, to the old Mickey Mouse shorts. And they thought it was like the newest thing in the world. And I'm like, this is from like 1920s.
Sure.
And they were like, we want Donald Duck. We want, you know, they were totally, you know, and I love those kind because they end at 3 minutes. They get it done
right.
and over with. And, you know, I don't like my class, and I'm very, me and the people that fund us go head to head all the time. Because they tell me that, oh, they need at least 30 minutes on the computer. You know, they need to know this for kindergarten. And I'm like, no. Most of them
can
play on a tablet. They play on a cell phone. They don't need more screen time. They've got enough screen time.
Well, I sure agree with you there.
That's
just strange.
You know,
but they're out doing something, you know, like using their imagination, doing things with their hands. Feed their minds out.
In fact, you know, Jean also volunteers with the house in Green Gables, the historic old house. And one of our newest writers is, I guess he's 11 years old, Christian Stein. And he wrote a story or an essay for his school about how much fun it was to go and play outside like kids used to do. And I'm thinking, you know, you're child yourself, you know.
Well, I think that's what amazes me is how many, you know, during quarantine, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm staying away from, for one thing, my town right now is all over the news because we had a nursing home that is basically like a breeding ground for COVID-19 right now.
Oh,
we have 80
no.
cases.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and it's a sad situation. But, you know, and these parents, like the Easter, they were complaining about not doing an Easter egg hunt. And me and my mom were discussing it. She said, Marcy, we always did your Easter egg hunt.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we didn't take you out to public to do it. She said,
no, you did it.
You know,
home.
And my mom was, yeah, my mom said, and you know, the best thing that could have, I wrote a paper on for my school, because I'm in school for journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a paper about the positive effects of COVID-19.
Ooh,
and
I want to read that.
It's I'll send you the link. But it was the environment. I mean, the environment is really benefiting from this.
Yeah.
I mean, in Italy you could see the bottom of Venice, the canals of Venice, where before you could not. In Japan, wild animals are roaming the streets where they weren't. You know, they weren't around because of all the smog
and the human traffic.
The human traffic. And I told my mom, I said, you know, I like to think of this, you know, as Mother Nature just needing to catch her breath.
Amen.
And my mom,
I've often said that.
My mom's like, you know, I never thought of it that way. And I said, you know, it's a shame that it takes a pandemic for us to really stop and realize that everything that we took for granted, you know, we can't do.
Exactly.
You know, as a preschool teacher, you teach these kids on a daily basis, you know, don't use your hands and your body. Express yourself with your words.
Yes,
well, now
ma'am.
We can't, it's easier to say it, but then when you, as an adult, you're thinking, you know, in church, you're guilty of walking up and hugging a stranger.
Right.
And now it just makes you go, okay, now you've got to verbally say it. You know, hey, I missed you. Or,
yeah.
You know.
Good job.
And I told my mom, I said, I find it amazing that it takes a pandemic for people to realize how to wash your hands.
Yeah.
That is something you should have known a long time ago.
Yeah, you should have learned it before now.
I almost got beat up in Disney World because I was coming out of the bathroom and this lady walks right out of the bathroom and goes for the door. And I'm like, you're not going to wash your hands. That's nasty. It's when I turned around, my mom was like, I'm going to throw you somewhere.
Your teacher side was showing. I'm going to take a real quick break. I'm going to have to run a commercial here. And when I come back, I want to read you something that I found on Facebook. I'll be right back, folks.
He's smart, funny, and very good looking, but he won't let it go to his head.
Out of all my stunning attributes, it's my humility that makes me perfect.
I'm sexy and I know it.
He's Thor, and he's hosting the new show, Thornication, Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock, only on AstronautRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is your host, Mary Brotherton. I'm here with Gene Alberton, Albert's son. I'm having a hard time with your name tonight. And Marcy Davis. And we've been talking about the positive side of coronavirus and quarantine. And I want to read something that I found on Facebook of all places. Dear teachers, next year, I don't care if you make the school supply list 10 pages long. I'll get you whatever you ask for. You want 8 dozen pre-sharpened Ticonderoga pencils? They're yours. You want 27 single-subject notebooks with real dragon skin covers? I got you covered. 50 bottles of hand sanitizer? Seems reasonable. A baby unicorn? I'll make it happen. Whatever you want, let me know if you have any food restrictions, because I'm hiring you a personal chef. You want a masseuse to rub your shoulders while you grade papers? Because I can make that happen for you, my queen. Y'all, these kids are rotten. Mine, yours, Karen's. All of them nerve-wracking little monsters, and these sweet angels that God saw fit to send us to educate our children are freaking rock stars, and we do not give them enough credit or money. These teachers should all be driving Bentleys, or better yet, a Rolls Royce with a personal driver. They should all be living in 5,000 square foot mansions with in-ground heated pools. So teachers, thank you. Also, I know that I gave birth to them, but I'm going to need you to come and get your kids before I lose my ever-loving mind. Sincerely, a mama who has had enough of coronacation and trying to homeschool these heathens. I saw I just laughed and laughed because I thought it was pretty darn funny.
A
lot of them are. I had one that actually reached out to me on Facebook, I think the second week into it, and how did you deal with my child? And I said, you're finding out the truth.
Uh-huh. I saw one maybe, 3 or 4 days after the first announcement came that we were going to be staying home, and it said, Jiminy, and I had a conflicting thought hit my head. One of them was like, okay, we're on day 4 of homeschooling, and one kid has run away, the other kid's been suspended, and the teacher's home drunk. But the, I had something else, so I've forgotten what it was, but it's okay.
Well, I mean, I did send home, because I have 2 kids that are going to kindergarten, and I really worried about them. Because this could be a huge setback for them. And
yeah.
I set them up with a packet of stuff. And luckily, both of them, I feel very confident wherever they go next year that they've got it. They're both girls. They're very super smart. One's bilingual for 4 years old already. She's very bilingual. And, I mean, but... I had one parent that – I had 2 of them that weren't potty trained, and I had been pulling my hair out trying to potty train them. And the mom told me, got on Facebook and said, I don't know what to do. I can't find pull-ups in his size. And I said, well, you know, this might be the perfect opportune time potty training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, see, you know, that baby tells me that she may have been expecting you to finish the potty training.
Well, and she was. She was one of them, what I love to call parent of the year. that, you know, she was one of my favorite. And when I say favorite, she was one of them ones you looked at with a child. The child never missed a day of school type
uh-huh.
deal.
Yeah. No matter how sick the child was.
Yes.
I can
like,
hear the sarcasm
goodness.
Just dripping.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I do miss this particular child because he did keep me on my toes. But I think I actually
you're,
miss
you're
all
a ballerina
my kids.
Too now.
I think at preschool you become all kinds of a teacher of all kinds of things.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
Because you have to, if you let them know 1 minute you don't have something planned, they are going to run over you.
You know, there are 2. I was a substitute teacher for 10 years. And there were 2 classes I never wanted to teach after the first time. And one was preschool. The other was AP math. Because those kids... Well, the preschool kids expect you to be on your, you know, they expect you to know your stuff. They expect you to be smarter than they are. And if you're, if you look like you're not, then, you know, they're going to attack. And the AP college, you know, the AP math students need to learn. And the teachers always gave me busy work to hand out, which was okay for me. I mean, I enjoyed what I did, and I substituted for 10 years because it was just, it was easier for me with my kids being in school to have the time to take off if they were sick or whatever. Because I didn't put them in daycare. And so the whole purpose of my substituting was because I wanted to be available when I wanted to be available and not have to go
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was my mom. I never went to daycare until I was tested out. I was actually at a doctor's appointment with my younger brother, and at 3 years old, I didn't talk. I pointed to everything, and he really wanted me tested, and when they tested me out, it was just I had very limited vocabulary, and a lot of it was
because you found other ways to communicate.
Well, I was the only granddaughter. I was the only little girl on the property. And I was kind of queen bee. If I went into something, everybody bent down and was trying to, you know, I never had the need to talk.
Interesting.
And I met my preschool teacher, and the first thing she did to me at snack time was she put my snack on the table. And I looked at her, and I pointed over to it, and she looked, and she shrugged her shoulders. And,
I don't understand pointism.
And I did it again, and I started crying, and she said, "What is wrong?" And I said, "I want my food." And she looked, she said, "Well, go get your food." But it was like a 30-minute struggle.
Wow.
And that's
and
really
she told
what,
my mom,
what goes on.
It is. And, I mean, and that's why I think I relate a lot to the Hispanic culture, because a lot of the kids, it's not that they don't know it. They know that you're going to accommodate them thinking they don't know what they want.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them are a lot smarter than people realize.
Do you speak Spanish, Marcy?
Very little. And I was told from a parent not to even travel to Mexico because my Spanish is that bad.
Oh, no.
Well, I've been to Mexico a couple times. Actually, three times. But I know just enough Spanish to get me into a world of trouble.
In trouble.
I've actually gotten in a little bit of trouble because of my Spanish, but I figured it out. But
I knew German, but one of our exchange students laughed and said, "No, you know all the bad words."
No, sir, don't try it. No.
One of our exchange students thought it would be funny to teach it to me, and the next one that came behind him said, "You know a lot of bad words, and you just
I'm just trying to put together, and it's just it's funny." Yeah, that's young people are fun. I had an exchange student many years ago who was from Spain, and then I had one who was from Ukraine, and we had one very temporarily. We seem to always get the renegades for some reason. She was from Uruguay, and so she at least spoke Spanish, and that I understand more than I speak. And
yes, that's me.
That blows people away when I just look at them and they know that I know what they're saying. But you know, you learn a lot from foreign exchange students. Now, Marcy, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. We had one for a short time that was Russian, and she didn't stay. She didn't mesh with our family, In fact, me and my brother were trying to prove she was a terrorist because she was just a mean person.
Oh.
Then she told us openly how much she hated America. I don't even know why she was here.
Wow.
And we have my older half brother that is Navy. So I mean, we are a military family, and my dad about lost it at that point on. It was like, we ain't going to even put up with this. And then we decided to go with Germany. And we had three from Germany that were very different. And they were from the different regions. And one of them I have to actually thank, because my grandfather, that we don't know a whole lot about, his great-grandfather came over during the Holocaust. And we wanted to know where in Germany these people were from.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually located the town that they were from.
Really?
So, I mean,
very
that,
cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. And someday, I told my mom, someday I'm going to, me and my brother right now are currently doing an ancestry project to find out where exactly we are from. And I am definitely one day, definitely just want to put my feet on that soil. Because I didn't get privileged to know neither one of my grandfathers. One died exactly the year before I was born, and the other one died when my dad was 8 years old. So we didn't know a whole lot about either one of them. And we split the family. I've got my mom's side and my brother's got my dad's. And every night we get on, we'll talk about, you know, did you read this story? You know, did you see this record? You know, and it's fascinating to see where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything we thought we were from, we was lies.
It's different, yeah.
My brother... My oldest brother is our family genealogist, and he's published a book called Our Family Orchard. And it's really interesting to go through there and read the little stories that you find, things you don't know about your family that you sometimes you might have wished you'd have kept a secret.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we found a lot. We found a reverend that was married like 7 times, and my brother's like, should we tell the church this? Let's just keep that a secret. We call it, what was it my brother called it? Reverend Player.
Oh, no.
And what was funny was each one of these women, except the last one, had died. And I said, did he kill them? You know, what happened here?
Wow.
And my brother said, well, you know, it's the 1800s.
Well, do you know if they had children? They may have died in childbirth.
Well, one of them did. One of them, there was a record because both of them had, both the child and the mother had passed. But the other ones, it was just freaky circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was some really strange stuff. One of them, I think, was,
like what?
Well, one of them was like cholera. Was it cholera? It was like one of them diseases
from the 1800s. Yeah.
Yeah. From
a lot
the
of people died from consumption.
Cholera.
If they didn't know what it was, a lot of times they just called it consumption.
Well, and I think it was like 3 or 4 of them. It just didn't say. It just did not say anything about it.
Wow.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Depending on the family, if they were a prosperous family, then it might have made the newspapers. Or it might have been a situation of, it was on their headstone. But a lot of people who had little money, they died and they moved on. Like, your ancestor, you know, he moved on to another woman. But they, it wasn't recorded, and it wasn't, you know, there was no internet, and it took time to write this stuff down. And unless it was in the Bible, sometimes even in the Bible, it was just said the day they were born, the day they died, or the day they married, and then the day they died. And that was it. That was the extent of the
family
trees.
Yeah, that's
trees
what, a lot
days.
Of it we're having to go by, and that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about husbands, you know, gentlemen moving on, and my brother figured out through one of the sources, I think it was a great uncle, maybe three times over, I don't remember, had a mail order bride. That was the scandal of, and it actually made it to the newspaper that Ezra had ordered a woman from, I think they were in Wisconsin at the time, and he ordered a woman from New York to mail order. Interesting.
Well, that was not uncommon. There are places all over the West where there just weren't any women, and they got women that wanted to go out there and, you know, hired them on, took them out there, married them on.
Well, you know, and there were also situations where if there weren't women who willingly went, they would kidnap either Native Americans or other women and take them, and, you know, they would just kidnap them and say, you're going to be my wife.
Well, not to destroy the Disney fairy tale, but that's what really happened to Pocahontas.
Exactly.
My mom got so embarrassed because when I was younger, I would get so fixated on people that I would go and research them. And I watched the Disney, you know, the Disney, prepared myself because I wanted to see Pocahontas, read the books. And at the very end, I stood up in the middle of the theater, and my mom would have took me down. And I said, that's not true. She didn't leave him. John Smith kidnapped her. She was a bad guy. And, I mean, I'm 8 years old. And these people are stopping and staring at me. And my mom's like, can we just leave? Can we just leave?
So you didn't wait until you were a teenager to embarrass your mom.
Oh no! I have been left in Disney World. that was actually not a funny situation, but I have a serious fear of snakes. I won't even go into the same room with a snake. And they had a 3D movie that was there, and I looked at them. I said, "There's no snakes on this, right?" And the worker told me, oh, no, there ain't no snakes. It's very short, sweet. Well, I seen on the screen where the curled up snake was there. I took those glasses off and the doors were shut automated. And I am screaming to get out of this room. And my family walked right by me at the end of the ride and let me.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
My dad come back and said, get up, you're embarrassing me.
You know, it's one thing, you can embarrass your mom all you want, and they'll deal with it. You embarrass your dad, they don't know you.
I don't know. I embarrassed myself to a picture with an astronaut. I mean, I can turn on tears somewhat.
yeah.
A very famous astronaut at that.
Which one?
Very famous. Buzz Aldrin.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
It was a very funny story because I love space. I wanted to work at Kennedy Space Center in the education department and sit on the tour bus and give tours all day long. That was my dream job. And, of course, paths led me other places, so I never got there. But we were at an opening ceremony, flag ceremony for an event with Girl Scouts. And nobody knew Buzz Aldrin was coming. It was, I mean, a total shock to everybody there, scout-wise. The Kennedy Space Center knew he was there. But I had lost my Gold Award pin, and if anybody knows what the Gold Award is, it is the highest honor you could get in Girl Scouts.
It's like being a Eagle Scout for a boy.
It's the equivalent. And awesome. my pin fell off somewhere in Kennedy Space Center, and I was very upset because everybody looking at, well, where's your Gold Award? I must have got asked that question 4 million times by different astronauts, and by the time Buzz Aldrin asked it, I was just done. I started crying. And he looked at me. He said, "Oh, this is just like me when I lost my Versace sunglasses." And before I could stop myself, I said, "That's not the same thing." And he said, "Can I get at least here? I'll take a picture with you." And my dad's like, my dad's sitting there doing the thumbs up, like, "Yeah, let's do it, let's do it." You know, dry it up. And I got a picture with him. Now, he would not take any other pictures without charging people, so I really did get lucky.
That's pretty good,
yeah.
Then.
As I told my dad, I said it wasn't Neil Armstrong, and my dad's like, "He was the second man, Marcy. He was the second man. Just stop." But my biggest one that I love reading about, and I actually got to meet these two, the two particular astronauts, was Apollo 13. My teacher got me hooked on it because I was so far ahead in Earth science with the studying of the space programs because it just interested me.
True.
That she told me, gave me the book, The Lost Moon, which if you haven't read it, I would suggest you read it before you even watch the film, Apollo 13.
Uh-huh.
Because it has so much extra stuff in it. And I didn't read the book, and I come back the next day and said, "Well, I know how this ends. They landed on the moon." And she said, "That's not the right answer. Go back and read it, because I know you didn't read it."
Oh.
Well, then I sat there and I read it, and I come out and I said, "They never landed on the moon." And she's like, "Oh, you read it." And a couple years later, Kennedy Space Center did their 40th anniversary for Apollo 13, and me and my dad went down there to the meet and greet and actually got to meet Jim Lovell and Fred Hayes themselves. And yes, and they're very nice men. Oh, my goodness. Very nice. Which I haven't met an astronaut that isn't very nice and that wants to educate you, the public, on what they actually do. I mean, I have not met one yet.
Yeah,
but
well,
I
think that's part of their job, is being like an ambassador too.
Well, and in the 60s and the 70s, these were heroes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were the rock stars.
They were rock stars. I mean, now we've got like the sports stars that, you know, and I guess some people could say the reality show, even though that would never be one of my heroes.
Right.
Just saying. I have better people to follow than them. But, I'm not a Kardashian fan. I mean, next to my boss, I am the oldest, and the other two are like early 20s, and they come in talking about the Kardashians, and I'm like, "Why on earth do you watch them?" And I'm like, "They're so stupid."
Well, the first time I heard of the Kardashians was on Star Trek. I didn't realize they were different Kardashians.
Yeah, different kind of Kardashian.
Yeah.
I like the ones on Star Trek better.
Yeah, they're probably a whole lot better than the ones.
Not necessarily better people, per se. They're kind of ruthless.
Yeah.
But, it makes for good sci-fi.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I don't get a whole lot of talk at work because when I watch movies and stuff, my favorite kind of movies and stuff is like Singing in the Rain and stuff like that.
Mm.
So,
that's why your grandma,
they're like,
you've got an old soul.
Oh, my mom tells me all the time, I was put in the wrong time because when I joked around at 7 years old and said, I'm going to marry Harrison Ford. My mom's like, okay. All right, he's old enough to be your granddaddy, but okay, go for it.
You know what?
And sure
I'm going to take another break, and when I come back, I want to hear more about Harrison Ford.
Oh, geez, I can do that one.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
Welcome back, folks. We only have a little more than 10 minutes left in tonight's show. I am your host, Mary. I'm here with Gene Albertson. I got it right.
Hey.
And Marcy Davis. And we've been talking about genealogy, getting left at Disney World, embarrassing your parents when you were 8 years old, unearthing historical truths, going to the moon, and falling in love with Harrison Ford. And I want to hear more about that.
Well, now I've kind of grown more of a respect because very little people know that the platform that he has on environment. He works heavily with, Conservation International. There it is. And I have used his quote on a lot of my stuff because it really makes sense. Nature doesn't need us. We need nature.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And it really gained a lot of respect because, I mean, you know, you think a lot of actors are, you know, don't have brains. And I hate to say that. I mean, without that sounding so negative. But
now, for a young lady who can cry on the whim, at the drop of a hat, you know all about acting.
I have been in one production, and I was in it on accident, and I really felt like I didn't do that great, and I would not want to put my name on that stage credit, but I was in Footloose in high school for one night, mm-hmm. and thank goodness it was only one night, because I'm not really a dancer.
I've been in a few movies, nothing spectacular except for one that I did with the co-founder of Be Unique. Jennifer East wrote and directed a show called Fragile House, and I loved it. And she said, Mary, you've got a real talent. You should try this more often. Go to some auditions and see what you get. Well, I got a couple of other shows from that were okay.
Nice.
But my problem was I am not a hurry-up-and-wait type of person. I don't like to go and sit in line and wait to be called. So after about 6 months of trying it, I said, no, this is just not for me. I need to do something more active.
Well, I think I like writing, and I think behind the scenes, because behind mm-hmm. every great movie and behind every good TV show is an idea. And I'm very proud that finally, you know, not to sound so feminist, but it is sounding feminist, that some of our movies and stuff that were once thought of as only being a man's movie has finally made the tides turn a little bit. And I think Star Wars really
this last trilogy really made a big statement and a real bold choice to put a woman as the head where Luke Skywalker was in the originals. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a very unique, and I thought when I walked into the first one, I'm like, oh, I don't know how this is going to work. But by the third one, I was like, okay, I could really see where they were going. But when you look it up, a lot of Star Wars has went to female writers. Marvel has gotten to where Marvel is picking up more women to write roles for, you know, different things for different projects. I think it's a bold statement for what's
going
on here.
It's, well, you know,
now, do
we
I think
entering...
everything needs to change? No.
No.
I don't think everything needs to change.
Everything doesn't need to change, but a lot of changes are happening, whether we want them to or not, because we are in the age of Aquarius, and that means a lot of changes are coming, and that's one of the reasons that I think COVID has made us stop and look and realize the things that we can do without, the things that we must have, and maybe even a reevaluation of what is and is not essential to life. Now, the first thing was sports.
Yeah. And I have to say, my poor husband is going nuts without NASCAR. So, I mean, but...
oh, no.
But, you know, the third day of it was the real... I had to battle myself because I'm very people-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And to be by myself was very hard. And, I remember telling my mom, I said, I don't know if I could do this. And she introduced me to knitting.
Oh.
And she said, you know, if you can't... She said, you know, if you think of helping somebody else out, and this is what I've always got from my mom, you know, do for other people. And I've knitted, I think, 3 hats that I'm going to, when all this is said and done, I want to give to our neighboring town for the cancer hospitals.
Nice.
Very nice.
I mean,
very nice.
My family has always accused me of being this walking heart that has arms and legs.
There are worse things you could be, honey.
And
many.
It was. I think Easter was so hard because I normally my class Easter, both my Sunday school class, my regular class, we go all out for holidays. In fact, the parents probably do not care for what I get them because I get them the stuff that they don't get, the Play-Doh and the ooey gooey stuff that they aren't going to buy them. So I go ahead and make my mark and do it. and I caught myself and, you know, I was looking at Walmart and I'm like, and our Walmart in particular is like a ghost town. And when I walked, all the Easter stuff is, like, still there. And I'm, like, catching myself, you know, reaching. My mom's like, who are you buying that for? And then I just kind of dropped my shoulders. She said, it's okay. And, you know, my mom said something that I really keep to. She said, it's okay to grieve for things that you miss.
Mm-hmm. It is.
She said, it is okay to feel bad because you want to do something and you really can't do it. She said, it is okay to feel that way.
Sure,
and
real.
I think that's what the important message that people really need to get out, because really keeping your emotions locked up inside isn't healthy for anybody either.
Mm-mm.
No, it's not. And there are a lot of ways to look at this. You know, we're facing something we've never faced before as a race of people, not just Floridians or North Americans or, you know, United States people. The entire world is dealing with this now. And everybody has a different way of managing what is good and bad for them. I have a niece who's probably about your age, Marcy. She has a dog. She's been married. She's divorced now, but she has a golden retriever, I think. Maybe that's wrong. Anyway, it's a Goldie. And she says that she's been talking to this dog so much since the quarantine that the dog just gets up and walks away. She ignores her. Well, I don't know if she's joking or if that's the truth, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, people deal with humor, or deal with stress with humor, and they deal with stress and anxiety a lot of different ways. I find
when I really feel stressful, and I actually did a video on my Facebook about during quarantine what you could do with your animal to keep them energized, to keep them exercising without leaving the house.
Uh-huh.
Because I have a year-old Jack Russell and Yorkie mix.
Oh.
And if you know anything about a Jack Russell, you know they're on fire and they're everywhere.
Sure,
yeah, that's just nonstop energy.
And poor Bo. If you do not exercise Bo, Bo is going to keep you up all night long. So it's easier to, you know, throw the tennis ball.
How do you exercise him?
Oh, well, Bo's favorite toy is a ball, any kind of tennis ball. I don't throw it at windows, obviously. That would be stupid, but I throw it. I live in a – I actually had somebody that asked me that. You throw a ball in the house, aren't you going to break a window? I'm like, I'm not throwing it at the window.
Common sense, people.
You know, I've had some real winner of questions. I've had some people ask me because I was telling them about hydrotherapy, and that's a therapy that I do with Fisher. And I told them that I put him in a bathtub, and he has a life jacket, and I hold him up enough that he has to actually physically tread water, and it's to keep his muscles moving, to loosen
mm-hmm.
them up. And she's like, so you don't put a pool in your house? And I'm like, why would I put a pool in my house? No.
You know,
no.
Marcy, I want to invite you to listen to a show that's coming on tomorrow night. It's also on Blog Talk. Another writer for Be Unique, Yvonne Mason, has a show. And let me see if I can find the name of it. The name of her channel is Off the Chain. But if you look for Yvonne Mason, Mason, like the jar, she's going to be talking about beer. Let's see. And that's her, but that's not the post. But she tagged me in her post on purpose so that I would know to tune in. But she's going to be addressing never let a good crisis go to waste. And folks, I hate to say this, but we're out of time. Absolutely out of time.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Marcy, this has been fascinating, and I want you to come back on the show.
Please.
We better book it now because we're booked through the middle of February. But I really love talking with you.
Thank
and I
you.
Love I love being your editor, and I love your spirit.
Unfortunately, I wish I could do more stories right now, but I'm very limited.
Hey, you got time. Get to work. I'm going to crack my whip.
I guess I could submit my original. I mean, that would be a different one right there.
Do it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll find a place for it. Well,
I'm very proud of that. My teacher was very impressed.
You'll figure something out.
I was the only one that took on Corona. I was the only one that took on Corona out of everybody in the classroom.
Wow.
Well, I really like your angle because there's got to be something positive. I believe there is in anything if you look for it, and I like it. So I'm so glad to have met you.
truth be told, that's something that I would put on our blog probably, because our next issue is not out until June. And by then, we're going to be all done with this.
I hope. We're going to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's over with. As far as I'm concerned, by the middle of May, everybody's going to be healthy and happy and working on being wealthy and wise.
Wealthy and wise, yes.
And we're all going to learn to listen to the dog, like Bob.
Yes. He'll tell you what to do.
Well, this has been absolutely delightful. I don't think we talked about anything I planned to talk about, but we talked about so many other amazing things, and I loved it.
Fun.
We will definitely be in touch because, you know, that's what we do.
Bring me back again, and I'll finish it up.
All right.
That's awesome.
Well,
I'm
going to
press
evening.
My little exit button and say goodnight, folks.
Good night,
everybody. And I want you both to go with God and drive with angels. Gene, do you have any parting words for us?
Well, not this evening. Bob was just looking at me, telling me, boy, this is about time, isn't it? So I'm going to have to take him for his walk now.
And how about you, Marcy? Any parting words?
Well, stay positive. Hold your head up. This is only a short time. Mm-hmm. And if you need somebody, reach out.
Yep. Yes, ma'am. I like that.
Very
good night,
nice.
Folks.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.